as we gather in the tabernacle of our Abba. We come before you with great delight this Shabbat. We do bow in your presence to worship you, to acknowledge you in all things. For you are great and mighty, and your truth endures forever. So we come into the day at the house of Yahweh to bless you, to worship you. And we offer up our voice of thanksgivings unto our Abba for the wonderful and great things that he has done in our lives. As we consider your magnificent power and the power of your Ahava to love us, to show us the excellency of your Torah, we bless you and we thank you. For our sins, we have transgressed your Torah. We have defied the perfect Torah of life. We have denounced HaMashiach, the Lamb of Israel, that brings the profound revelation of life of the Torah. We have rejected that in our walks, our lives, our disobedience. We have constrained your hearts from delivering us. And as we come before you this Shabbat, we lay all of our burdens down at the gate to enter into the presence of our Abba to worship you, Yahweh. For we come in that name. We do gather in that name, the name of great honor, the name that is excellent above all names. We bless you today. We praise you. We esteem you. We come to receive the matter from above. So speak to us. Speak to our mind. Speak to our heart. Speak to the purpose, the will, the desire that you have placed in the life of your people. We want to acknowledge you in all things this day. We want to thank you for the beauty of the Shabbat, a day of rest. Day that we can lay aside every burden that our mind, our thoughts, we will be above the sensual and earthly things today, but that they will be upon the things of the Shemayah, where the throne of our Abba is. So help us all, for we do need help today. We need your strength. Your people scattered throughout the world, they need your strength. As we ask you for our precious pastor and brother, Pastor Babu, in India, touch him. The strength of Pastor Brown and Pastor Hunter. We ask your strength to rest upon Pastor Yisrael there in the Augusta and Elder Baker. Touch Brother Joy Griffin today and Elder Basil. Give them strength, I pray. We ask you to anoint Brother Jerry there in Dallas. And Brother Nathan, as they gather with him to listen to this broadcast in Houston, Texas, bless him, I pray. We bless you for the safety of Brother Rex and the elderly sister. We ask your strength upon Brother David Manning and the Morgans there in Philadelphia. We ask you to touch Brother Michael and Sister Michaela and young Alex there in Ohio and strengthen Sister Tucker and the children, and we ask your strength upon her husband. We ask you to bless Sister Catherine and Sister Pamela. We ask your anointing to rest mightily upon Sister Hawkins there in Jamaica. Bless your people, I pray. Strengthen Brother Heath, his wife, and the children there in Canada. We ask you to bless Brother Dukes there in Delaware, Wilmington, Delaware. Touch Sister Morrison and help her. We ask you to strengthen and to bless Sister Verta there in Philadelphia. We ask your strength to rest upon Brother James there in Brooklyn, New York. Strengthen, I pray, Elder Martin there in Kenya and bless him. We ask you to bless Sister Illick there in the Bronx, New York. Bless Brother Wyden and his wife, Wideman and his wife here in Columbia, South Carolina, and Brother Eugene Jenkins in California, we ask you to strengthen him and give him the resolve that he needs in this hour. For what are we without you, Yahweh? We ask you to touch this house, and those that gather in every nation under the sun that gather in your name, to bless them, to bring great deliverance, that they may understand the liberation of Almighty Yahweh and know the power of his strength. We love you today. We bless you. We do praise you. We ask that this worship will be all about you, to esteem you, your word, and the life of your word revealed in Yeshua HaMashiach, the Lamb of Israel. Now bless us here today. We ask you to strengthen your mind servant, that he may speak with great clarity and understanding, that the love of the people will be open to receive your profound truth. We bind every vile thing of darkness, the power and the will of the carnal flesh, we bind it in the mighty name of Yeshua HaMashiach. Now let your liberty flow in the midst of this house. We shall shabbat you and worship you in the mighty name of Yeshua HaMashiach, the Lamb of Israel. And all the kiddushims cried, hallelujah, way. Hallelujah, way. Come on, lift your hands.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Come on, lift your hands. Come on and bless him. He's good to you. Hallelujah. He is wonderful to you. Hallelujah. 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 For this is the day of our Abba, our precious Yahweh, that we shall enter into the bayats of our Abba to worship you. So we ask you in this assembly, as we gather in your name, and you declare by your truth, you shall be in the midst thereof. For we touch and agree in the word of truth today. And so we know that you are in the midst. Bless your people. Worship you. Now we ask that your manservant will have an unction today from above, that he may speak with understanding and wisdom to the seed of Israel, that they may hear and know that your word is true. We bless you today and we thank you. And all the Kedoshans cried, hallelujah, way. Hallelujah, way. Look to your neighbor and say unto them, Shabbat Shalom. Good to see you today, my friend and my brother. Yeah, we bless you all. You may be seated. We certainly do come with great expectations from him. Come into the presence of our Abba to receive of him the manna from the Shemayam that may sustain our lives as we walk each day upon this earth. This is more than just a practicality. There's a way that Yahweh has commanded for Israel to live, that they may be one with him, that they may be free. They may not be bound to the powers of darkness, given over unto the crushing hole of sin. We know that sin is a transgression of the Torah. Yahweh never gave us guidance and truth for us to defy it. But he brought forth a great revelation and understanding to the house. And he has given us the life of his truth through Yeshua HaMashiach. And you will never have it any other way. That's why we have many types of splintered groups today. And they are vying for some kind of supremacy or power to denote that they have a special place with Yahweh. And it's not so at all. For he has elected his house and called them that they may be set apart from the powers of darkness and to serve him with all of their love, their heart. We're not going to serve him with partiality. We're going to have to serve him with sincerity. And the reason that we do not have the power of the house of Israel do not possess the power to serve him, because literally the people is not free. They're not free. There's no kohi. They're not free from the power of the control of their mind, and the world is controlling the minds of the people today. All over the world, the mind is being controlled. As I was thinking this morning, I said, Yahweh, man has devised things to take time and to make it time, but no time. He has given you microwaves and all kinds of things to create time for you. And yet it has not created time. And I thought about the mothers of old, that they knew how to pray. They knew how to take care of one another. They would travel great distance in horse and buggy, and they would cook on a wood-burning stove. And the meal was ready for the husbandman when he came into the house. And this generation, you have microwaves. You have a touch of a button and everything is instant. But you have no time for nothing at all. No time for your way. No time of devotion to actually judge the very integrity and the intent of our own motive. This is a generation that is far removed from him. And yet those old Kiddushim found ways to assist, to help. And they had time to take care of everything. And yet there is no time today for anyone. And the reason why? Because this is a generation that is not free. I want to say to you that the freedom of a man is not adjudicated in some judicial legislative body. But it comes by the power and the revelation of Yahweh's Torah. You are not made free by some kind of adjudication or some kind of tort reform. That is not the freedom of Yahweh's people. When a man has that kohi, there is a flowing liberation that comes from the Shemayim of Yahweh. And there is a liberty to worship him, a liberty to stand in his presence, and you're free from all the things that bring you under great bondage and the power and the control of the world. Shaitan has done a magnificent job. He has taken away all your time, given you time, and yet you have no time. That is not freedom. That is slavery. It has caused mothers to leave their homes, and they're bound to another master. It is not the one that created all things. Why? Because they have created a system that you cannot even live in this system unless you walk according to the dictates and the commands of the God of this world. It is not your way. We are free, but we are not free. I want to emphasize that today. Oh, I know what I said. I will continue on the message on the last Shabbat. But this is vital here. When Yahweh speaks to my heart from his truth, then I must obey the commands of Yahweh. So a people and a generation that say that it is free, but it's not free. The mind is controlled by the fictitious things that the powers of darkness have illuminated in our lives. The sons and daughters, they are controlled by that little thing that they watch for hours and hours. Their actions, their mannerism, their character is shaped by something that Yahweh never intended for it to be. Do you understand that? These people are not working for Yahweh. These are from the forces of hell, from the powers of darkness. And your sons and daughters, they are controlled by surfing the internet. They are controlled by television watching. And so are the parents as well. They have the microwave popcorn, the microwave dinners, and yet they have no liberty or no freedom. It is not the free-flowing power of Yahweh in the midst today. It is the power of slavery and bondage. It is not the kohi of Yahweh. They are not free. They're bound to serve another master and not Yahweh. They're given over unto servitudes. And yet their minds are not given over unto the commands of Yahweh. They serve those things that their carnal mind commands them to do. Now don't tell me that Hamashiach came to bring us into such a devastating bondage that the world is in today. It is not so. The reason that this nation and your freedom is not going to be adjudicated. It's not going to be legislated. It's going to come from the Shemayim of Yahweh. It comes by the power of Torah truth. And that is the only way you're going to be liberated. And so we find this Jethanizing spirit out here, that they cry that they are liberated and they're in bondage. We find the women say, I'm free to do my thing, and they are bound. They are not free. They got perverts to teach them how to dress and how to walk and what things that are appropriate. That's not liberty. That's not freedom. Yahweh commands the daughters of Zion as how they must dress, how they must carry themselves, how they must walk, as he has done with the men, the head of homes. And yet they have no liberty of time for their sons, their homes, to establish the power of Yahweh in the midst, because we have allowed the powers of hell to train our minds, and our minds are diametrically opposed to Yahweh. The thoughts of Yahweh cannot even penetrate our thought process today. The thoughts of Yahweh have no value or validity in our lives at all, because we live in such a surreal world. There is no reality. And this world has done that even to those that say they know Yahweh. We're not going into the kingdom that way. And so he sends a warning to his house. He sends a warning to his house. We see the metaphor of this when Israel in great bondage in Egypt. And scripture says that he did not hear their murmuring or their complaining. He heard their cry because of the great bondage that they were under. And there is no great cry in this generation. It is bound to the forces of hell. Let me say this to you. When you oppose the commands of Yahweh, his mitzvahs, and you go diametrically opposite of what he commands, you are not controlled by him. You have no liberty at all, but you are bound. You have no freedom at all. You are in an imprisonment. And the minds today are imprisoned. The heart today, there is no natural affection from it at all. Because our force is wrong and we have been taught wrong. We must go to scripture, to the beginning of all things. We will see what Yahweh says. I want to read something. Hear this. You don't have this, but it's out of the Apocrypha. I find it to be a very, a tremendous verse in the Apocrypha. It says this in Ezra, in 3rd Ezra. I want you to hear this. It says, for when they had taken liberty, freedom, when they were made free from the imprisonment and the bondage, when they had taken liberty, and that's what this nation is based upon, isn't it? A democracy. It is rule of the people and by the people. Lies from the powers of hell. It's ruled by the powers of darkness. And yet, we're supposed to be the nation of liberty. And what bondage in this nation? The killings, the murderings, the hatred. It sounds as though it is the seed of the Edomites here. Sure it is. That's why Yahweh chose Yaakov and he did not choose Esau. And we can see the spirit of the Edomites is one of killing and fighting, because that's what Esau was. From him came the power and the seed of the Edomites. And so we have a nation that cries amid great liberty, and yet the people are in bondage. They are bound. They are not kashia. They are not liberated. Their minds are not liberated. We think that we are a nation of free thinkers, and you're not a free thinker. When a man goes outside of the paradigm of the Torah of Yahweh, he has a thinking that is full of illusion. It is not the mind of HaMashiach. We need that mind. We need the thought process of Yahshua HaMashiach. We have the mind of darkness today. How do you know, preacher? Because it opposes Yahweh. It rejects truth. It defies truth. It questions truth. It is one thing that the power of truth does. It liberates you from the forces of hell. This generation, the mind is full of darkness. And that's all it thinks of. How do I know? Because it is a mind that thinks one way. It's a mind that thinks carnally. And we know to be carnally minded is what? Enmity. It is a hatred of Yahweh. Why? Because the carnal mind cannot adhere to the Torah of Yahweh. It despises it. It is not subject to it. And neither indeed can it be. So that is not a liberation. And so the mind is not liberated by the Torah of Yahweh, the truth. It is not a mind that is of free thinking. Can you understand the expanse of Yahweh? He said, and let there be boom. And there were stars in the mind. What a creation. Mind cannot even think on the dynamics and the breath of Yahweh. Neither can yours. And so what a free thinking mind. What a mind that is liberated. And yet this mind that we say we have, it thinks of only one thing. It thinks of flesh. It thinks of satisfying the carnal reaction and the actions of flesh. The mind of HaMashiach pleases the Abba. He pleased the Abba. Not wife, and son, daughter, husband. It pleases the Abba. And when you please him, whether son, wife, daughter, husband receives that, it makes no difference at all. That mind pleases the Abba. It serves him with diligent effort and with a sincere devotion and motivation. For when they had taken liberty, once they had received liberty, they despised the Most High. We are a nation of liberty, are we not? One of the most profound signs in this nation is the Statue of Liberty in the harbor of New York. And it is the insignia of the liberty of this nation. Certainly it is. It is the nation that signifies a great liberty, a freedom, a free-flowing freedom. And there is no free-flowing freedom in this nation. How can you say that? Because there's the signet of this nation, and the strength and the God of this nation is the love and the greed of money. It destroys the homes. It destroys every fiber. So mothers must allow television and some strange spirit to raise their children. And daddies don't give a nickel's worth of rat's dung. And so there is no kind of free thinking, because the mind is always on how do I make it from this week to the next week. Don't tell me that's free thinking. It's a bondage. There's a power that controls one's mind. There's a power that controls the entity. Now, back in the days of the 30s and 40s, the old papa was free. He hooked up his horse and wagon. He went to his little garden. He farmed. He had enough to buy a little sugar. He had enough to sustain him. And at the end of the day, when mama would set the meal before him, he was very thankful. You could see that in his countenance. She realized what he had done that day. So her movement toward him was very carefully and tactical. She knew how to approach him, what to say. This generation doesn't know that. Why? Because it is not a generation that is liberated. It is not free. So when they began to walk in liberty, they despise Almighty Yahweh. And they scorn his Torah. And they forsook all of his ways. Now, is this a nation that we find in what we call Christendom that declares that it was established upon the principles of Torah? Lies. I believe that it was established upon the God of Christendom, but not upon the principles of the Torah. I don't believe that. There are nations that have tremendous moral values, and there are Islamic nations that the moral value of those nations are greater than this nation. As far as the young women not given over unto lasciviousness and the young men to sexual impurities, that their minds are controlled by some sexual vow, demonic power of lust, that they can commit fornication without thought or the retributions of that. Such adultery in this nation that very few men are faithful with fidelity to their wives, and the wives are less to be faithful than the husband man. So in that instance, there are nations that their morality and their status of morality are far greater than this nation. But we serve a true God. You serve the same God of darkness as the ones in the Islam or in any other nation. The ones that say that they know Yahweh. You cannot serve the mastering power of your flesh and spend all of your energy and time satisfying your flesh and not serving the tenets or obeying the truth of Yahweh. It doesn't work that way. So you're not liberated. You're not free. And when Yahweh brought Israel out of Misraim, out of Egypt, they had liberty, didn't they? Oh, they sang, they danced, they shouted. And in the midst of all that liberty, they began to despise him. They hated them. Well, Pastor Roberts, I do not see the parallel of that. Can I show you an example? There are parents today that give their children every kind of liberty. They allow them to do what they want to, go the way they want to, and the children despise the parents. They have no affection for them. You can reject that. It makes no difference at all. They despise them. They reject them. They have every kind of freedom there is. They do what they want to. They go where they want to. They are not accountable to anyone. And Yahweh is letting us know you are accountable unto Him. You're going to give an account for everything that has been done in this body. You understand? Whether you believe that or not. You should not strive for the masteries of this world. Why? Because this life is like an ebbing rainbow. You see it for a moment, and then it is gone. Because it is a fact that you're going to meet death, whether you believe that or not. So we should strive for the mastery of His truth. And to master His truth, that it transforms our lives and change us into the image that Yahweh intends for us to walk in. He said, they despise my ways, and then they rejected my Torah. Has this generation done that? Does Christianity teach us to reject Torah truth? Certainly it does. It does not admonish us to adhere to the truth of Yahweh. So it is not a liberation in it at all. Not in Islam, not in the Caucasian Hebrews or the African Hebrews. There's no liberty in it at all. We find our liberation in the power of Torah. And it's not going to be found anywhere else because HaMashiach says that. Well, what did he speak? We will find out what he said, all right? It's either that he is the power of Yahweh in flesh, or he is one of the most renowned charlatans upon the face of the earth. And he cannot be, for what he spoke was the truth. I want you to hear this. It says in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 6. He said, they scorned his Torah. They denied and despise his ways. The ways of Yahweh leads a man into liberation. The way of your carnal flesh leads you to death. If we are led by the Ruah of Yahweh, then we are the sons. If we are led by our flesh, then there is an animosity against Yahweh. You tell me you've never despised his ways? Just say, help me, Yahweh. You tell me Yahweh speaks to you and you haven't despised that. He said things to you and you rejected that. You have seen what his mitzvahs tell us. His mishfatim, his judgment upon you, and you resist that, you hate it. Certainly we have walked in that manner. And we still have the challenge every day in our lives. That's why we need the mind of HaMashiach. We don't need a black mind or a white mind. We need Messiah's mind. We need that mind to please Yahweh in all things. And we must please Him in everything. He did not make you or set you forth on the earth to try to please mama or daddy, wife, son or daughter. He set you forth to please Him. We are pleasure unto Yahweh. We have made gods our sons, our daughters, our children, our homes, our things, our jobs. It ought not to be. You have put an image before you. You have put something before you that is more important than Yahweh. And He is not going to be satisfied with that. He's not going to rejoice in that. You're not going to receive the fullness of Yahweh. This is an empty nation here. It's a drunken, foolish nation. It has a tremendous religious spirit in this country like no other nation, really. Every kind of pagan god there is extinct. Scripture says in Devarim, chapter 8, verse 6, Yahweh's Moshe spoke unto Israel. He says, I want to tell you something. Chapter 8, verse 6, therefore, you understand this quite clearly. You shall keep the mitzvahs of Yahweh, your Abba, to walk in some of His ways. You see, you walk in His ways, and they forsook His ways. And that's what this generation has done. The liberty, what we call in this democracy, has caused people to forsake the ways of Yahweh. And they have forsaken His ways are forsaken, and Yahweh commanded them to walk in His ways and to fear Him. He says in verse 12, "And now Yisrael, what does Yahweh your Abba require of you?" He requires this. And what a requirement is, that is the criteria in order to walk in the liberty or the freedom. This requirement of Yahweh has not changed because we're in this era. The requirements of Yahweh never change. Can I ask you a question if you think they change? Can you go out here and murder someone? Is it right for a man to commit adultery on his wife? Is it right to steal? So how do the requirements of Yahweh change? They have never changed. What the liberties have done and this pseudo-type freedom we think we have, I can do what I want to. I'm my own woman. I'm my own man, honey, and I can do what I want to. If I want to be a man, it's all right. If I want to be a woman, it's all right. How can a man be a woman? And how can a woman be a man? It cannot be. It's a vile power of hell. It is not of Yahweh. He says, I want you to walk in all my ways. And so what liberty tells you, we don't have to walk in His ways. And so what the God of grace tells you, you don't have to obey Yahweh. And that's what these lying dogs will promote, even though you will show them the truth. They reject it. They will not walk in the truth of Yahweh. Woe unto them, for there's a great judgment. Yahweh is not slack when judgment time comes. You better bless Him for judging you. And thank Him for that. Because in His judgment He corrects you. You better rejoice. You better thank Him for that. What does Yahweh require of us? What is this? What does our Abba require of you? You must fear Yahweh your Abba. And again He reiterates. And walk in all His ways. And walk in all His ways, and to love Him, and to serve Yahweh your Abba with all your love and with all your being. Now, has that changed? Has that changed at all? Now, the liberties of this nation that thinks it is walking in the kashi of Yahweh, the freedom, it is not walking in the freedom of Yahweh. It is a nation of intellectual retards. That's what it is. Because when a mind rejects truth, when a mind rejects Yahweh, it's a retarded mind. The systems teach you to reject Yahweh. The schooling teach your sons and daughters to reject Yahweh. Their principles are against Yahweh. Their higher institutions of learning cause you to reject Yahweh. They cause a sense of pride and arrogance to be exalted and won. That's what it causes. It doesn't bring about the liberty or the freedom or the free-flowing power of the righteous Torah of Yahweh in one's life. You're going to die. A little child born the other day, it's going to die. Death has already begun to work in it. So what are you laboring for? What are you laboring for? A house? Foolish. A car? Ignorant. To be prestigious? For what? Who's going to recognize you? It's an ignorant world. It's foolish. To be somebody? What is somebody? What constitutes somebody? What constitutes character or strength? A piece of paper? Your very ignorance. It's not so. Now this is what the world has taught us. And these are the commands of Shaitan. This is what he wants, because it takes the mind away from Yahweh. It takes it into this imaginary, this pseudo-ficial, superficial type of thinking. And that's what the world thinks today. It's no righteous judgment, no righteous laws today at all. Nothing at all. Do what you want to. Isn't that amazing? Because you see in the nation on the west coast and out in the on the western coast of America, that you've got people here that are illegals. They have no right to be in this country, yet they're protesting. They're marching. They're demanding rights, and yet they have no citizenry of this nation, and yet they're demanding rights. And that is what this pseudo-image, the pseudo-falsehood of these Hebrews and whomever they are, they think they have a right to the throne of Yahweh. And they have none at all. They have a false illusion to actually think in some kind of historical perspective that they are the people that Yahweh has called. Not so. You will know the sons of Yahweh by the fruit that bears from one's life. You will know the true identity of the Hebraic people, because they shall prevail. And they shall prevail. And Yaakov prevailed with the Melech that he wrestled with. He prevailed. And the people of Yahweh will prevail. How can we say that we are the true Israelites when we are not prevailing against the powers of hell? When we are bound unto the strongholds of darkness. We have no liberated mind to think freely and to worship Yahweh. It's a very difficult thing for you to lift your hands to Yahweh, isn't it? But they don't find that difficult during the NCAA tournaments. You find the elitists there, don't you? Oh, you don't get into one of those games unless you are part of the alumni. And you are part of that alumni because you're sending quite a bit of money to the school. And so when it gets down to the few tickets, they make sure that those that have given the money will be the ones that get into the game. That these are the philosophers and the doctors and the lawyers of the nation, and yet they're like fools. They're railing and flailing their hands over round and low basketball that you could take any child out here and they can do that. And yet they have this nature of euphoric behind a ball. Where you tell me that's not an ignorant people. You tell me that's a people of liberty. You're lies. That's full of lies. The people that is bound. You take a little ball that's made out of the skin of a hog, and yet you will seat 75,000 people to worship on that pagan day. And these are the elitists in America. They educated the corporate presidents, the Harvard grads, and they're shouting and flailing their hands over a bowl. You tell me they're free? They're not free. This nation is not free. It's a nation of God. It's a nation that is consumed in bondage. It's a nation of religion. It's a nation of religious practices and principles, but they bring forth no liberation and no freedom and no life at all. You see the doctrine that HaMashiach brought. He brought the liberation of Yahweh. I will show you in Scripture. It is either you're free or you're not free. Hallelujah, Yahweh. You cannot serve two masters. You cannot serve two rulers. Not at all. It is one thing about a man that is free. He will serve. He will be a servant of the wise servant. Do you hear that? It says in the Apocrypha that a free man, he understands a wise man. And a free man will be a servant. He will receive from a wise servant. We don't receive from wise people today. There's an arrogance that brings death to the heart of the people. They have no strength. They have no love for Yahweh. You sense it in their countenance, in their expression. Because the issue that is in your heart, it will be expressed. How do you know? If someone wins $10 million in the lottery, will the issue of their heart cause them to become dormant, or will they shout? And yet we have the greatest riches upon the face of the earth, and it doesn't cause any jubilation or any rejoicing at all before Yahweh. And you tell me you're free? When a man gets that kind of money, he says, I'm free to quit my job. I'm free from bills. I'm free from everything. And yet he is brought into bondage seven folds over. He's not free. But yet that's what liberty teaches you. I'm free, but not the liberty of Yahweh. It causes a heart to flow with the free excitement of Yahweh. The heart is excited. It rejoices with the free giving of His Ruah and the fruit that flows from a man. You can't find it nowhere in this nation. You go to these whole houses, you come in an assembly like us today, and you're bound because there's no liberty, there's no kasiyah. If you at all, why? Because you have not been delivered from the power of your own corrupt flesh. You've had a religious type of experience through emotion, but there is no deliverance. You will not receive what Yahweh intends for you to have. Why? That's why you mock His Torah. That's why you despise Him. That's why you get angry when He corrects you. When He shows you your sins and you're corrupt, and that's the generation. A parent corrects the daughter or the son, they get very offensive, don't they? Because they're weak and shallow. When someone is always offensive, they're very weak and shallow. You take a man of his stature, it's not like a man that he perceives as a large man or man of masculinity. He looks at himself and looks at the man. He makes a muscle and looks at his and looks at the other man's muscle. So he compares himself with him. And that determines its worth to him. Or women do the same thing. They see a woman that got what she called with a shape, and she twisting her hips, and they look at their hips. They see her breast and they look at theirs. They look at the tightness of her belly and they look at theirs. And say they promote, so they promote that. So don't sit there like hypocrites on me, all right? Hallelujah, why? It is worse among women than it is men. It's a twisted mentality. It's a twisted mentality. Hallelujah, why? Who does she think she is? Why? Because she doesn't act like you. She's just who she is. What's wrong with that? It's not of your way. Moshe said, Yahweh wants you to walk in all of His ways. Do everything that He commands you. To serve Him and to love Him. He says in verse 13, first of all, to keep the mitzvot of Yahweh. His statutes, are there limitations with Yahweh? Sure it is. And the world says there's no limitation. To keep His statutes which I command you this day. For what purpose? For your good. The commands of Yahweh, the mitzvot are for your good. What about understand the life of it? That's what HaMashiach came. He came to show us the power of the liberation of Yahweh. You must understand that those Levites, the Yodims, had made the Torah so incumbent. It was a work of laws and not the working of the Torah. And that's where they missed it. HaMashiach is the working of the Torah. He is the working of the Torah. He is not the work of the Torah. He is the working of the Torah. He is the work of Torah. He is the life of Torah. That's what He is. Did He sin? Did He sin? Was the Torah set forth to show us our sins and show us what Yahweh did not want us to do? To show us limitations? Sure it was. That's why we're going to be without excuse. When this free unmerited Ahava, the love of Yahweh, has been pouring down onto us, and we think we're going to go before Him with excuse, you're fool. You're full of darkness. You're full of wickedness. Because you're not going to Him with one excuse. Why? Because He says, when you hear My voice, then don't harden your heart. You've never done that, have you? You mean you've hardened your heart? When you harden your heart, you provoke Him. When you get upset with Him, you provoke Him. When He's talking about My daughter, well, I'm sure I'm talking about the heifer. Well, that's My son. Sure, I'm talking about him, the knucklehead. And so you get offended at that. Well, the offense has come. Woe unto him by whom the offense comes. Well, the offense has come from Yahweh. So you're telling Yahweh, woe unto you? Cannot be. So when this liberty in this nation, we think we have liberty, it has caused us to despise Yahweh. This is not a nation that loves Yahweh. They hear that name, well, I was saved in my deeds, as they will tell me, who was saved in the first KJV, and the Jesus and Isusas. Tell me what name were they saved in. They don't even know what the liberation of Yahweh is. They do not know what the deliverance of Yahweh has been taught from the standpoint of their Christendom. It has not been taught from the standpoint of the Bereshit, from the beginning unto the Diviyah, unto the end. It hasn't been taught that way. It's been taught by the religious, theological perspectives. It has not been taught by Torah, revelation. It has not been taught. How can you say that? Turn with me to Yokohana, in John chapter 7. Free men will be at the service of wise men. That is in Sirach 10:25. Free men will be at the service of wise men and men of understanding. When you understand, listen, it says men of understanding will not grumble. You don't do that, do you? Come on, look to your neighbor and say, do I grumble? Come on, now look to someone else and say, do I grumble? Huh? So wise men don't grumble. Yahweh indicts His house. He says to the world, to hell with it. HaMashiach came to do one thing, and that was to seek the lost seed of Yisrael. He says to the Shilishim, don't even go to the Gentiles and nations of the world. Don't even go to the Samaritans, but you go to the lost house of Yisrael. So He says to the world, to hell with it. He's going to save the remnant of His seed. He's going to save the remnant of His seed. And He brought Israel out. The first thing He had to do is show that He had to destroy some. And out of that came a remnant of that seed. Out of that house of Israel came a remnant of the seed. And He still have a remnant. There are many Edomites today. You will know them, believe me, because they are violently against the truth of Yahweh. They violently oppose HaMashiach. Because these men like Israel, they are the metaphors of this Hamashiach, this hope for Israel. They violently oppose truth. You find this Edomite spirit in Christendom, it violently opposes the truth of Yahweh. You find it in the religious circles, they violently oppose His name. I say to people when I talk to them, if you buy a facsimile of the KJV 1611, you find the Paleo Hebraic name of Yahweh there. How can you deny that? What is the Abba's name? It certainly isn't no pagan rendition Jesus now. And I say it that way. Unapologetic as well. Hallelujah, why? Look at what Messiah says in I want to begin in the 8th chapter. Hallelujah, why? The 8th chapter of John, Yohanan, 8:31. Now this is either the truth or it's a lie. Then said Yahshua to those Yodim, which believed on Him. Now they believed on Him now. They didn't believe in Him. They believed on Him that this man certainly had the power of some, quote, God, unquote. That's what they believe. I want you to understand this now. They believed on Him. They did not believe in Him, what He did, or the purpose that He served. We believe on the Word. You will read the Word, but you don't believe in. It has no strength in your life. It doesn't create love in your heart for Yahweh. It's easy to believe on something. And you can look from an exterior point, from the outside, and say, well, that's all right. Yet you must discover what's the complexity or what is the ingredients of the thing. Oh, they believed on Him because they knew that no man could do these things unless there was a greater power with Him. Unless there was a greater strength with Him. And they believed on Him. They believed, Yahshua said unto them, if you which believe on Him, Yahdim which believed on Him, He said, if you continue in My word, ye shall be My disciples indeed. Now, do you hear what He said? Now, what word did He preach? He said, if you continue in My word. What doctrine did He teach? If you continue in My word, you shall be My disciples indeed. Now, this is where it showed that they did not believe in Him. They believe on Him, but they did not believe in Him. We ought to walk in, not on, now walk in the light. We ought to walk in the truth. He said, so you that believe on Me, now if you just believe on Me, you will know the truth, because there's one thing that the truth does. It opens up the very text of one's heart. It shows what is in one's heart. He said, and you shall know the truth. He says, and you shall be My disciples indeed. Now I want to show you something. Turn back to the 7th chapter, the same verse, of the same book, 7th chapter. Because He said unto those that believed on Him, if you continue in My word, then you are My disciple. What word did He teach? It says in Yohanan, chapter 7, verse 17. This is what it says. Listen. This is HaMashiach. He says in verse 16, Yahshua answered them and said, My doctrine is Mine. He said what? So My discipline is not My discipline. Is that what He says? Is that what He says? He said, it's not Mine, but Him that what? But Him that what? He said, this doctrine I teach is not My doctrine. He said unto them which believed on Him, if you continue in My word, then you shall be My disciple. If you believe on Me, if you continue, where? How did He say continue? On My word or in? Come on, brothers and sisters. He said, if you continue, where? Where? In, not on My word. But if I believe that somebody has a great integrity, it creates a great integrity of confidence in one's heart. He did not say, if you believe on My word. He said, if you believe in. If you believe in My word. It doesn't make any difference. Sure it does. It has a totally different connotation. It reveals a totally different perception. That's what He does. If you that believe on Me, that I am the Son of Yahweh, tell me, the world today, they will use the name. I believe that He's Yahshua, the Son of Yahweh. But they don't believe in. They don't have confidence in that. See, they did not have confidence in the statement or the doctrine. He says to them, now this doctrine that I teach, it is not Mine, but Him that sent Me. He said, if any man will do who? His will. He shall what? He shall know the doctrine. If you do His will, you should know the doctrine, whether it be of Yahweh or whether I speak of who? Myself. See, they had the letter of understanding, but they didn't have the Ruah. They had the knowledge of what Torah taught, but they didn't have the living power of Torah. You have many today that have the knowledge. There are men today that can teach Torah truth, but yet they don't have the living power of Torah. There are those that can extrapolate scripture to the very finitest of its point and show you the very intricate details of it, but yet they don't have the living power of it. And these Yodims, they knew Torah, but yet they didn't have the living power of the Torah. They did not. And HaMashiach said, now what I'm going to do is discipline you that you will understand the power of life of the Torah. But they believed in the letter. That's why if you did something on the Shabbat, they had incumbent the Shabbat soul that you could not even break your teeth. You could not even walk out of your house. And HaMashiach said, in this entailing, I will bring that works of the law and I will destroy it. Now that's what he destroyed. Those were things that were implemented by man. And Yahweh suffered them to walk in those ways. He suffered. He endured it. He sent prophets after prophets and they still didn't obey. He sends a sound word to us today. We still don't adhere to him. Some of our minds are in loco boom. You see, that's why you're not free. For whom the Son makes free. Let me read on. He's free. You understand? He's free. He says in verse 18 of John 7, he that speak of himself seek his own honor. But he that seek his honor, that sent him, the same is true. And no unrighteousness is in him. He says to this religious house, did not Moshe give you the Torah? Did he not give you the Torah? And yet none of you keep the Torah? Did he give them the Torah? Do they keep it? So you find the Hebrews today that have the Torah, but do they keep it? Lies. Full of hell and darkness. He said, Moshe gave you the truth of Yahweh. He gave you the Torah. And yet you do not keep it? That this came out of the mouth of HaMashiach. Here's the people that say they have the life of the Torah. And HaMashiach say, you do not even keep the Torah. You do not even understand it. Why? He said, why go you about to murder me? Kill me. Look at this rebellious house. This is the way we are. I don't think like that. He knew the heart of man. The people answered and said, you have a devil. Now, he said, if you believe on me, in the first verse he said, if you believe on me and continue in my word, you will be my disciples. So they simply believed on him, didn't they? Scripture doesn't contradict. I'm not contradicting scripture here. Did they believe on him? Sure they did, but they didn't believe in him. Do you not see the difference? Why would they call him a devil? Is that what he said? They call him a demon? A daimon? A devil? Yeah, because they believed on him. And see, we don't believe in him, but we believe on him. We fall in for the fish and the loaf, for the brats. We don't believe in him. See, because if they believe in him, how could they call him a devil? How could they say he was not the truth of Yahweh? He said, Moshe gave you the Torah, and yet he did not do anything to defy the Torah. What doctrine did he teach? You think he could have came that was some kind of strange, hellish doctrine? They knew the Torah. That's why they believed on him. They said, well, he got something. He's an uneducated man. How did he get this kind of stuff? Where did he learn this? Man, he got something. And he has not gone to any of the higher schools of learning. He has not sat on the Gamaliel feet or some of the great institutions of the land. But he got something. Believe me, they were not intrigued by him because he spoke words that were not the words that were weak. Scripture says he spoke as no other man. He spoke as no prophet. Moshe didn't speak like him. Abraham did not speak like him. Noah did not speak like HaMashiach. No man has spoken like him. He spoke a word of life, and the power of life was in everywhere. Why? Because he was the perfect order and the perfect dictate of Torah. That's what he was. Yahweh's standards, Yahweh's disciplines. That's all doctrine is. It's the discipline of Yahweh. It must discipline our mind, our heart, our way of thinking. It disciplines our lives. So if you believe on me like the scripture says, and you continue in the words that I tell you, then you'll be my disciples. Yet they believe on him, but not in him. They had no confidence in him at all, none whatsoever. There was no love for him. The people answered, you have a devil who goes about to kill you. Who wants to destroy you? Who wants to murder you? Now that Those were their words. But He always speaks to us. We respond that way. Oh, I would never do that, and yet we're doing that. We're inexcusable. Oh, man. We judge one, and yet we do the same thing. Yahweh intends for His people to be circumspect, to have lives that are circumspect, free of the bondage, liberated, and delivered from every kind of form of government there is. There's only one government, and that is the government of Yahweh. Everything else falls under that. You see, the government of Yahweh is high above the democracy of America. The government of Yahweh is higher above the totalitarianism of China or the communists of Russia or the dictatorship throughout the continent of Africa. It's greater than that. It has more power than that because it brings about the liberty to truly identify with Him, to worship Him, and to hold fast to what He speaks. Why? Because everything He speaks is of integrity. He cannot lie by the power of His immutability. He was not created. He just is. And the natural mind cannot comprehend that. Only when we get the mind of HaMashiach, when we see Him, we're going to be like Him, and then we will know all things. And so what He does, even though He calls us to seek Him constantly, is just to find that nugget of gold that excites our heart continuously, that we press for the mark. We're not pressing for the mark, we're pressing for the mark of darkness. And our minds being shackled under the bondage of darkness. So it gives you a little bit of time. You know when you train a beast, if you train a dog, what you do with a dog, every time the dog does the thing right, you don't make him do it longer. You make your dog sit. 30 seconds, you give the dog a little something to eat. Sit. And through the repetition and the repetitiveness of that, the dog learns how to be obedient. Now you can't leave the dog alone and think it's just going to sit like that continuously. You must always interact with the beast. You understand that? And that is what the word of Yahweh does. That's why we need liberty to study His truth. We don't even have liberty to study His truth. We have no freedom to spend time with Him. Something is wrong. Something is drastically wrong with the people of Yahweh. I'm over the Father. I want to go back to the 8th chapter now. I want to go back there. I just wanted to inject that. I want to go back to the 8th chapter. Verse 32. He says this now. And you shall know the truth. And the truth shall do what? Now we know what the truth is, brothers and sisters. Yahweh's righteousness, His tzedakah, is an everlasting righteousness, and His Torah is the truth. His righteousness, Yahweh is righteous, isn't He? And His Torah is the truth. He said, and ye shall know, or you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Now this nation doesn't know the Torah. It doesn't want to be taught the Torah of Yahweh. The Baptist, the Methodist, the Pentecostal, Holiness, whatever they call themselves, they are servants unto their gods. The black Pentecostals, the white Pentecostals. The white Pentecostals were different in the black Pentecostals' way. The Mexican Pentecostals are different in the white Pentecostals' way. HaMashiach said, ye shall know the truth. You shall know the power and the liberation of the Torah. He said, and you shall be free. If you continue in the disciplines that I teach you, because these are not my disciplines, they come from the one that sent me, and you shall be kashiyah, you shall be free. Now what discipline is this nation and the people, what are we walking in? It is certainly not the discipline of Yahweh. When homes, the daddy is never there. The home, the mom is never there. When the homes are broken because of the pressures of this wicked world, trying to ascertain the things that will mean nothing. To labor all your life for a piece of wood, a piece of metal, something is wrong. To become educated and call yourself elitist, and yet there are those that know you're ignorant and will charge you $40,000 for something to drive, and you actually think you got something. And then they're going to charge you $50,000 once they tax the interest on it. Hallelujah, Yahweh. Can I show you something? I'm going to finish this now, okay? If a man buys a house for $50,000, 6.5%, 7% interest, the payment for that house is going to be around $50,000, with that around $640, $50. 10 years, how much has the man paid in 10 years if he spent that kind of money? They're going to finance for 30 years.
10 years he spent what? If it's $650,000 a month, he spent how much in 10 years? He spent $65,000. The triple of that, and that's what he's going to pay for. How? That doesn't seem like the education system works, does it? It sounds like to me it makes a bunch of dummies and a bunch of fools. You say what you want to. And that's the truth. That's what it does. And that's the mindset. And these people are brought under the service ship, under the bondage of the system of the world. That's all they're brought under. The bondage of the world. Tell me, how can a man, how can a family have time for Yahweh when their lives are spent in the salt mines, as Pastor Yisrael would say, trying to ascertain the things that the wicked has laid before you as he tried to do with HaMashiach to make you think that you're someone. But to give you some sense of worth. Let me tell you something, brothers and sisters. My worth is not in this dollar yard cloth. You tell me that's my worth? Huh? Is that your worth? No, my worth is greater than that. He said, precious in the sight of him is the death of his saints, of his kiddushim. And I'm not talking about just dying. I'm talking about the death of one when he dies to the flesh, to the will of flesh, to the purpose of flesh. And so you cannot be free. When a man is dead, is he free? He's free. Yeah, he is. You got to die first. You got to die. You're free from every expectation, from bills. You're free from everything. That is the truth. You're free. And you got to die to the flesh in order to be free. You must die to the purpose of the flesh to be free. When one dies, Evangel Horn is free. Brother Fred out there, he's free. Brother John Lindsay, he's free. He says to us, you better get free. They're free men. Bishop Banks, he's free. When a man is dead, he's free. He is flat out free. And so when we die out unto the will of the flesh and the purpose of the flesh and this carnal dictate, only then are we free. It will not be the will of the carnal attributes or the mind or the carnal mind. It will be your will, Yahweh. Whatever you say. I want to do your will. Whatever your purpose is for my life, I will do. And he shows us what his purpose is, not with some kind of epiphany. It comes directly from Torah. It teaches us our disciplines. It teaches us our limitations. It teaches us which way to walk. It teaches us which way to talk. It teaches us how to dress, how to eat, how to do everything before him. The Torah teaches us that. And the power of that, or the importance of that teaching, that we have the life of it. The Ruah and the power of it only comes through HaMashiach. Now you got many that call themselves lawgivers, or law believers, or law keepers, but they have no life for their lifestyles at all. Full of wickedness and hell and darkness. They do everything that the world does. Did he bring them out of Mizraim? Did he bring them out of Egypt? Did he set them apart for what? To worship him. He brought them out in a broad place, didn't he? That's freedom. You take your younger somewhere where there are hundreds of acres, a thousand, they see this broad place, they don't know which way to run, do they? You go to a place like you just look. Which way do you look when you look up? Tell me. Do you see the ends when you look up? You never see the ends. You just see the limitation of the end of your spectrum, of your eye spectrum. Your retina. That's all you see. How it interprets that. And so the liberty of Yahweh, the freedom of Yahweh is far beyond the expanse of the Shemayams. That's what his liberty does. It's not adjudicated. It is already sealed. It was sealed on that impaled death of HaMashiach. It's already been sealed. So I have the liberty of Yahweh. What? The freedom to worship him? To love him? To be a shalom with my brothers? To do good unto all men? Especially the house of faith? To labor? To fear him? To tremble before him? This generation possesses none of those characters at all. And we that call ourselves the seed of Yahweh, we have very little of that. Why? Because we're not disciplined by his truth. We don't allow Torah to discipline us. We are disciplined by our own greed and our own lust. A wise man will not murmur. A wise servant will not grumble. He will not grumble at all. She will not grumble at all. You know when you're grumbling, you're not wise at all right? You're not very wise, period. Messiah says this in the 14th chapter of Yochanan. They sought to kill him because he brought them a truth of liberation, of freedom. He says this in the 14th chapter, verse 10. He said, believe you not that I am in. Does it say that? He said, not on now, but I am in. I am in the Abba. I am in Yahweh and the Abba. In me. Now he spoke to them that you that believe on me. They believed on him, didn't they? But they did not believe in him. They did not know the intricates and the value of the purpose of HaMashiach. And people today do not understand the power of the Torah because they don't believe in Him. And that's why they can talk it. That's why they can talk about the furnishing of the tabernacle and all of that, and they do wonderful jobs, but they have no understanding of the life and the power of those specifics of the tabernacle. They have none of that, brothers and sisters. You got to believe in Him, not on Him. Because if one believe in Him, on Him like Scripture says, in order that you believe on Him like Scripture says, you got to believe in Scripture. And out of that one's belly shall flow rivers of living water. It doesn't flow a dry creek bed. We find a dry water, a stench. We find a toxicity today that is from the bellies of darkness. It is not out of the bosom of Yahweh. You see, they had wickedness in them. They were from the grave of darkness. That's why they said, "You're a devil. He's got a devil. He told us we want to kill him." Sure, he told the truth. How do I know they told the truth? I can show us one prime example. When Stephen talked to the same people, he told them they were stiff-necked. They were uncircumcised in heart. "You always resist HaKodesh Ruah." Did they kiss him on the cheek? Did they bless him? Did they pray for him? What did they do? And they still had the same trash in them even after the death of HaMashiach. Well, how does that apply to us? Because Yahweh reproves you today and you do the same thing the next day. Well, you believe on Him, but you don't believe in Him. You don't believe in Him. Not at all. And that's this generation. He said, "And the Abba in me, and the words that I speak to you, I speak not of my own strength or my own character, but the Abba that dwells in me, He does the works." Yahweh does the works. He said that is who doing it. And that is why He said to you, He cannot leave you comfortless. He would pray unto the Abba. He prayed to someone, didn't He? He prayed to someone. And He would send you another or a form of His power, not in the form of this natural Son of Man, but it would be a power that dwell in you, and it would be the Ruah, the Spirit of Yahweh. And you will have the living power of Yahweh, and it will not come to testify of what it is or who it is, but it will testify of what things I have put in you, and I put nothing in you but Torah, truth, and what the prophets have said, and what David has extrapolated, and what Moshe stood upon. What else did He put in there? Put nothing else in them. And for this wicked generation to deny Him, well, there are a lot of them that deny Him. I will not deny Him. Because He is the strength of the life of the Torah. It comes no other way. That's why they live hellish and wicked. That's why they talk with rhetoric and a lot of talk, but there's no substance to their talk. Does the world do that? That's how you find the world talk. Nothing to it. Nothing at all. Here's the power. Here's the life of Yahweh's doctrine, His discipline, His teaching. And without acknowledging Him, you have no life of Torah in you. You know the letter, but that means nothing. It is one thing that the letter of the Torah does, it kills. But it is the Ruah that makes it alive in you. Those Yadims, they had the letter, but they did not have the Ruah of it. HaMashiach is the power, He is the fullness of the Ruah, of the letter of the Torah. And that's why He said, now once I teach you this discipline of Yahweh, it's going to bring you into a place where you have great liberty and freedom that you will not sin. You will not transgress the Torah. You will not oppose Yahweh. You will not despise Him. I give you the life of it now, and you will see the power of Yahweh's life in this Torah now. And this generation doesn't see that. Very few see it. Very few. Because we do things by association at what Mama has taught us. Mama was wrong in her disciplines. Mama was wrong in her wisdom. But there were tenets of things she spoke to you. They were good. But that doesn't mean that everything she spoke, the application is right. It doesn't mean you hold fast to that. If it was good, you hold fast to it. If it's not good, then you cast it aside. That's what you do with that, but that's mama. Scripture just tells you to honor, that's all. Didn't tell you to love mama no more, you love nobody else, does it? Scripture doesn't teach you that. It doesn't tell a man to love his wife no more than to love someone else. To love his wife like he loved himself, and to love your neighbor as you love yourself. That's what Scripture teaches us. Does Yahweh love you more than he loves me? For Yahweh shall love the world. Do you understand that? So love is love. It's our dictates of what we call love that cause us to have this love of hypocrisy, of dissimulation. It's partial. It's false. I despise that. That's why I tell you, don't love me. For Yahweh loves me. And that's all right by me. You don't have to love me. That's all right. Hallelujah, Yahweh. You love someone more than you love me. You don't even love that one you think you love. Because his love is not partial. It is not hypocrisy. We find a lot of that in us, don't we? Come on, look at yourself. Just look at your neighbor. You're looking at you. Come on, look at your neighbor. All right. You know, you're ashamed to do that because you know what's in you. And you find it difficult to do it. Because once a man look into the perfect law of liberty, and that's what Yahweh teaches us today, the perfect law of liberty. And then he go back to the way of the flesh, you back to the way of the world. And how can the power of Yahweh keep you free? How do you think you're going to enter into his presence? And so when I say things like that, it actually shows us what's in us because we have this fear of doing it. We have this shamefulness about us. That ought to let you know you need to get right. I'd rather look at someone to say that. Why? Because then if it brings that conviction, I know that Yahweh's dealing with me. What's wrong with that? Oh, it's all right to look at him. But when you look at her, because she knows you better than he does. So it's not much of an indictment. And the one you think you're friend with, when they know who you are and they know about you, it's easier to look at someone else than it is to look at someone, the one that knows you. Sure it is. We play a kid's game. And the reason we do it because we're not free. When you are free, HaMashiach was free. He was free from all expectation. Shaul said, I'm ready to die. You just let me know when. I'm ready. I'm free. And when a man has that liberty, nothing of any sort causes trepidation or fear on that one. Nothing. Because he is set for an offering unto Yahweh. And there's nothing that is more valuable to him than to bring pleasure to his Abba's heart. That's all I'm living for. I have nothing else to live for. I don't have nothing I want. I don't want riches. I don't give a nickel worth of rat's dung about land or cars. What difference does it make? I can get from point A to point B if I have to ride a bicycle. And yet these are the things that have brought a nation and a people into great bondage. And it's a nation of great bondage, and the religious system has proliferated that and has caused you to have a great greed and a great lust. Your God, many, and fortune wants you to have these things. Well, that's what Shaitan offered our Messiah. Yahweh offered us the eternal life of the kingdom. He takes care of your need, bread, change your raiment. You got clean water, be thankful. The world offers you the things that Shaitan offers you. And they bring about no serenity, no peace, no shalom, no happiness, none whatsoever. She reading the other day that woman there, 33 years old, she walks in the bedroom, kills her husband, shoots him in the head, right in Tennessee. Takes the three children, she leaves home, gets an oceanfront condominium, rents that, goes into a restaurant and eats, and knows she's shot her husband in the head, boom, 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 three times, killed him. What kind of mindset? You tell me that's freedom? Well, I would never do that. When you hate your brother or sister, you better hear me, you are a murderer. If any of you hate your brother or sister, you're flat out dog. I don't take it back. I'll continue this way, Brother Michael. His wife wrote me a letter, and Brother Michael said, Pastor Roberts, don't back down. I want my brother. I will stand the course. If any man hate his brother or sister without a cause, what causes it to hate one? Quieter. He's a murderer. Thou shalt not murder. You've broken the mitzvah of Yahweh. You've defied it. And the reason you can do that is because you have no lively hope in you. Hallelujah, Yahweh. That is the truth. Hallelujah, Yahweh. His righteousness is from everlasting, and his Torah is the truth. He said, these words I speak to you, they're not my words, but the one that sent me. The Abba dwells in me, and the works that I do, he does these things for me. We shall know the truth. We shall know the truth of Torah, and it shall make us free. Now that is the only thing that is truth. Yahweh is from everlasting to everlasting. Tehillim 119, 142. And his Torah is the truth. So how do you know the truth unless you know Torah? And HaMashiach is the power and life of Torah. If Yahweh spoke a word and said, let that be light, that's got to be a powerful word, isn't it? Is that powerful? And if he tells you not to kill, is that not to murder? Is that powerful? If he tells you not to commit adultery, is that powerful? Those same words that he spoke and said, and let that be light, that was light. Come on, brothers and sisters. Out of his own mouth, out of his hands, he said the constellations, and he named it by the hundreds of millions, no telling how many out there. And the stars fill the Shabbat. That's what he did. And he said the planets, the bodies of the worlds, at different worlds, and the world. He said the constellations, they shall be. And they were so. Do the winds obey his voice? The storm, the seas, then we are fools if we don't. We are flat out fools. Even the winds obey. He says to the north wind, blow it. He says to the south wind, churn the Atlantic and cause the winds to churn with great trepidation. And he turns. And we see a Katrina. No one else can do that. No one. He says to the cyclone, they call it a cyclone there. It's nothing but a Katrina. He says in Australia, churn, and the winds began to churn in the eastern part. They obey his word. Now what are we? Are we not fools if we don't obey his word? If the wind is that free to obey Yahweh, then we ought to be free like the wind. If the storms obey his word, we ought to be free like the storm. If the rocks of the mountains obey his voice, then what are we? Well, he has made us much more superior than that. He has made us in his image. And if we don't obey his words, then we are fools and we are not free. That's where our liberty comes and obey. Look what scripture says. And Daniel, he speaks of a time that shall come. Daniel chapter 9, verse 13. Daniel 9, 13. I will speak from the book that we take very little or pay very little attention to. And we have very little affection for it. We have very little affection. The sister sent me a beautiful scripture yesterday. Bless you, Sister Elek. And there in the Bronx, New York, she said it that it would get overnight. A nice volume of scripture. And I bless you for that, sister. She simply wanted to bless Pastor Roberts. That's all right. It says in Daniel chapter 9, verse 13. Look what it says now. It says, as it is written in the Torah of Moshe. Do you all hear that? It is already written in the book of the Torah. All this evil is come upon us, yet we did not make our prayers before Yahweh, our Abba. Why? That we might turn from our iniquities and understand your truth. The truth of Yahweh makes you free. It is not the truth of your heritage. It is not the truth of history that makes you free. It is not the adjudication of laws. It is not the supreme bodies of the world that adjudicate laws. It is the truth of Yahweh. It makes a man free from the power of his iniquity. That he will not be Torah-less, but he will have the power of the living Torah dwelling in him and the proficiency and the effectiveness of the Torah working in him. That what we have effectively working in us is fleshly ways, lies,